Blog Talk Radio.
And you can only listen.
Welcome to In the Spotlight. I am your host, Tamika the Treat Queen.
Now.
Three times a month, we bring you the authors with the most flaming pens in the literary arena, the publishers dedicated to producing the hottest books, and literary professionals who are sure to take your books to the next level. Today's special guest is author and minister, Ravonda Brown. Ravonda, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yes, it's a pleasure to have you. So let's get started a little with your background. You are a minister and co-pastor of the Sanctuary Christian Fellowship Church in Houston, Texas. When did you know that you were called into the ministry?
Wow. The Lord revealed to me that calling back in 2007, I believe.
He gave
it to me in a dream. Whenever he calls me to do something or gives me an assignment, I'm so glad he showed it to me in a dream or something so I can understand it. So he did reveal it to me in a dream that he had called me to preach. It was something that after I found out, I struggled with it and didn't want to do it, but eventually I yielded and said, okay.
Okay. Now, had you been in ministry before you guys started the church?
Actually, yes. We have started off with being youth pastors. The youth has always been a place in our heart, in my heart. So it's been ministering with kids. And so, in fact, that's what we were doing. I was actually, my husband and myself were actually a youth pastor at the church we were before until the Lord, told us that it was time to start our own ministry. And so that's how came about. But, yeah, we've always been, praise God. But we've always been working in the church and just serving. As I said before, the youth has always been our passion and still is.
Okay.
It still is.
Okay, so you guys have been ministering for a long time, but you've been pastoring since 2007. Is that what you said?
No, I accept my call to ministry in 2007.
Oh, I see.
Started
gotcha.
Preaching then, yes. We started the sanctuary. The Lord gave the assignment to my husband to begin the sanctuary. That was in 2013 when we...
Really?
Yeah, so the sanctuary is actually, we made 2 years, officially 2 years, on this year, on January.
Congratulations.
So
that has got to be a huge shift. I mean, you know, I've never run a church or anything, but I have been in ministry before, and I know the time and the emotional energy that goes into all of that. How has your life changed, you know, since you guys not only have been in ministry full-time, but now you're running a church? How has your life changed since that time?
It has, you know what, to be honest, I won't say that it's changed drastically because we've always been heavily involved, but it's more of a heavier burden now, you know, responsibility, you know, now that it's the head now. The Lord has placed us ahead, you know, well, my husband ahead and me under him. But I have to say that's the burden where it's like, okay, the responsibility has gotten even heavier and realizing, okay, you know, when you're not, don't have your own church or whatever and you just, you know, volunteer your time, you know, you can say, okay, you know what? I think I'm not going to come to church all today, you know. This stuff comes up, but now it's like, oh my goodness, I you know, we have to because this is the appointment, this is the assignment that has been given, and you know, people are waiting to hear a word. You know, you can't say, you know what, I'm going to stay at home today because me and my husband. In fact, we were talking about that this morning. He was like, babe, I'm tired. I said, I know you are, sweetheart. I know you are. I said, you know, just go ahead and take a day off. He said, I can't do that. I said, I know. So it's a heavier responsibility. Just the fact that you're leading. You know, now you're actually leading God's people, and it's a congregation. So yeah. As far as that, it is. That has changed that mindset and understanding that.
So let me ask you this. Okay, so we hear so many different opinions about pastors and their roles and all that stuff, you know. But as a person who lives this life daily, you know, what do you wish that others knew and understood about the role of ministry?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. I wish that others would understand that it's actually a huge sacrifice, and that you know, people wouldn't take it for granted, you know, take it for granted that, you know, the pastor is tired, you know, they are tired,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, they,
mm-hmm.
they need you to pray, you know, lift them up, you know. I have
mm-hmm.
my best friend, bless her heart, she goes to a church where we came from, and
mm-hmm.
it's such an encouragement to know that, you know, she prays, you know, she said, I know I'm praying for my pastor, and that's just encouragement
yeah.
to hear, you know, someone
mm-hmm.
saying, I'm praying for the people that's leading. And I think a lot of times, and I did it too, and of course when we weren't in the position,
mm-hmm.
you know, you kind of take it for granted. But if the members, if those who are involved, you know, serving in the ministry
mm-hmm.
would also remember, let's keep the leaders lifted up. Let's be encouraged to them. Hey, you know, text me a scripture. Hey, I thought about you today,
mm-hmm.
you know. This scripture here may be able to encourage you or whatever, you know, just something simple,
mm-hmm.
a big smile, a hug, you know, when we see them on Sunday or Wednesday. That's just, it goes a long way, as for me, you know, in my opinion.
I think, you know, so often we get caught up in the supernatural that we forget the people, that we're still just living in the natural, you know, and even though they
mm-hmm.
have, you know, pastors and ministers have this awesome, you know, call and responsibility, they're still just people. So they get tired and they,
mm-hmm.
you know, they hurt and they need time off and all that kind of stuff
mm-hmm.
too, you know. And I think sometimes we get so self-minded, you know. Well, what about
yeah.
me? Yes,
mm-hmm.
but there's 3,000
mm-hmm.
of you who are saying, what about me? You know,
exactly.
and then there's just two people trying to meet that need. So, you know,
right.
Because you mentioned that your husband, you know, he's tired. It's been a couple of years now, you know, just constantly on the grind. And, you know, but
mm-hmm.
how do you find that time, you know, to pour back into yourselves? You know, how do you find the time to say, okay, well, no, I've got to take this week off, you know, to go on vacation to be able to recharge?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
how do you do that, you know?
Just actually doing it, you know, and not
mm-hmm.
putting it
mm-hmm.
off, and also not feeling bad that you're taking that time off.
Yeah.
I'm excited because this week or tomorrow, my aunt and my sister and cousin and I, we're going to go out of town. So I'm taking a little break, you know. And so we're going to
mm-hmm.
all, with my husband and family, we'll do a break. We're going to take a vacation in July. So just knowing that it's okay to take some time off to be, you know, because God doesn't want us standing up there pouring out and we don't have nothing to pour out. You know, we're empty.
Absolutely.
And we're trying to pour some out, you know, to someone,
mm-hmm.
but there's nothing inside of us. So he wants us to get away, to have some time, be refreshed, you know, allow people,
yes.
those that you can trust and those who know the Lord to pour into you, to build you up, to encourage you as well. So, and then when you come back, you're on fire. Hey, I can go. I can keep
That's
on
right.
going, you know. So,
that's right.
So I think it's,
you know,
just understanding that it's okay to take a break. It's okay to take
mm-hmm.
a break and have a little time where you can be refreshed and strengthened, you know, to keep doing God's work.
Now, you and your husband, you're parents also, aren't you?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Yes, it is. Okay. So, you know, what I was thinking about when you were just talking was how, you know, when you first have the kids, you know, you kind of feel that sense of guilt about leaving them with a babysitter, or, you know, having a moment to yourself,
mm-hmm.
or doing the date night. And I kind of likened it in my mind to running the church. It's the same kind of thing where
mm-hmm.
there's still this responsibility. There's still these people that you're responsible for. And yet
mm-hmm.
there's still an entity outside of that. You know, you're more than just a pastor. You know, you're more than just, you
mm-hmm.
know, a mother or a father. You know, you're
mm-hmm.
a part of a couple. You know, you're an individual. You're a sister. You know, you have all these
mm-hmm.
other roles. And all of
That's
those
right.
things are important. Yes. So,
yes, ma'am.
So in addition to running the church as a whole, you have a separate ministry. Why don't you tell us about your ministries? Or is it more than one?
Oh.
Or is it one?
It's one. God is
one.
So amazing.
Okay.
He called me to start Martha and Mary Ministries, Walking in Freedom. And you know what? He always has a plan. Sometimes God, you know, he does stuff a lot of times. I say with me, God does things and tells me to do something. You're like, what are you talking about? Come on, dude, that just doesn't make sense, you know. So, I mean,
right.
2010, the Lord called me to start Martha and Mary Ministries, Walking in Freedom, to
uh-huh.
start writing devotionals. And I'm like, okay, because I, you know, I would journal and keep it to myself. Well, on this specific day in September, he said, okay, after I have, you know, wrote down that devotion, he said, now send it out to the people on my list, and this, you're going to name it Martha Mary Ministry and Walking in Freedom. So he started that
mm-hmm.
ministry out in 2010. That was my husband and myself. We were still part of another church, So Martha and Mary, that women ministry, devotional ministry, had been going and going, and then finally when the Lord said, okay, it's time to start the Sanctuary Christian Fellowship Church, you're going to put Martha and Mary underneath that, so this is part of our women ministry. So from that, so that's how that comes. But what it is, Martha and Mary ministry, what it is actually encouraging women through devotionals, as well as having events and activities. Like we have our workshop where we minister to the women. They come out and be encouraged by different female speakers to come and encourage us. And we also have just last month we had our prayer breakfast, and we have brunches, and we have for the kids, like we're going to have at the end of this end of this month, we're going to have the Easter extravaganza, which is also had been adopted underneath our youth ministry, which is outreaching it to the community. We have a picnic and Easter egg hunt, and we invite the community to come for free, you know, and we cook and we have the play games and we tell the Easter story, and then we have a big Easter egg hunt. It's really, really great, and just it's one of our biggest events because the community comes out and the people look forward to it. So it's basically just ministering to the community, ministering to women and children, and just encouraging them to keep Jesus first, you know, focus on him, follow him, walk with him, and because he has indeed, you know, set you free. So that's what the Martha and Mary ministry is all about.
So why don't you tell us, how is that name, Martha and Mary, how is that significant, you know, to the title of your ministry? How is it significant? You know, because it's not a random it's not a random title. So how is that significant?
No, ma'am, it is not. It's not just a random title. The Lord gave me Martha and Mary Ministries, and that is in the Bible. Martha and Mary are sisters, and they catered to Jesus. In fact, they were close friends with Jesus. Them and their brother Lazarus. They were close friends, and Jesus would come and hang out, and you know, and spend time with them, always in this town of Bethany. Well, Martha, these are two sisters, but they're totally different. And I call myself a Martha because that's who I am. Martha, she's busy serving, busy. I got to do, I need to do, it has to be like this way, it got to be this way. And Mary, her sister, is more of, hey, I want to sit down and be at the feet of Jesus. I want to listen to what he has to say. And, you know, don't get me wrong, Martha wants to hear that word too, but her number one thing is, hey, it got to be perfect. This setting needs to be just right, you know. So it's these two different people from all, you know, that can relate. And I believe every woman can relate to either Martha or Mary. You know, you're serving, you're busy, you're working, a mom, you're a businesswoman, you're constantly on the go, but you yet you need to be Mary at some times and be able to sit down and be ministered to, be encouraged to, you know, to sit down and relax and find some calmness in your life, you know. And there are some Marys who do love constant. That's what they're doing. They're worshiping God. You know, they're spending time at his feet. They're spending time in his word. You know, their day is going by, not running quickly, what I got to do, what I got to do. Their day is going by, you know, I'm going to spend a little time with the Lord, and they're taking it easy. You know, some people may feel like, man, you're boring, you know, but that's just how they are. So that's how Martha and Mary, the Lord is so amazing. That's how he got that name together. These two women coming together, realizing, hey, you got to walk in freedom because of what Jesus has done. Because Jesus says, whom the Son sets free, he is free indeed. So Martha and Mary, although you have these two different people, one is busy, one knows how to sit down and spend some time, nevertheless, you still need Christ right in the middle that's going to walk with you and allow you to walk in freedom, trusting in him, keeping him forward, keeping him first. I'm sorry, keeping him first and number one. So that's how that name. And I just, I love Martha. I'll tell you, man, I'm Martha because I'm busy. I'm coming, and my husband tells me, he said, you know what? Even if you take a break, you wouldn't know how. And I wouldn't because, like, I got to do something. That's something. Sometimes he'll tell me, baby, please sit down and just relax. I got it. Just chill.
That is beautiful. So it sounds like, you know, you're also kind of working and kind of fusing in those messages that balance is needed. You know, it's not that you need to do both, you know, That's okay
right,
to sit at his
exactly.
feet, but you also have to do some work too. And then it's okay
exactly,
to calm
exactly.
down and not do some work. And you have to, yes, that's beautiful. That is beautiful.
Praise God. Praise God.
So there have been a number of people who've been burned in the church, and you know those through the ministry might not they may be gun shy now, you know, to return, or their hearts may be jaded towards God and all things pertaining to the church and God. What do you say to that person?
Oh wow. And you know what, church hurt is just so painful. I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
really hard to come back from that. I've experienced church hurt. And what I would say is, remember, don't put your trust in man, because we're going to let you down. You hear me? We are
mm-hmm.
going to let you down. Do not put your trust in me. Don't, you know, in man. Don't put your trust in your pastor. Put your trust in God, you know. Allow
yes.
God
yes.
to be able to, you know, keep you forward. One thing we do, we mess up and we kind of put that pastor in the place that God's supposed to be, you know.
Yes.
You can't
yes.
do that because he,
mm-hmm.
she, they don't let you down. May not, not intentionally, but we're
mm-hmm.
frail. We mess up big time. And so the
mm-hmm.
one thing I would say is just understand, try to forgive them and ask the Lord, you know, constantly pray, because God is the only person that's going to be able to remove that that feeling of, you know, how you're not able to move forward because of what this person has done and what this person, and you keep that, and you can't even be effective in your church because you're worried about what happened at another church 10
mm-hmm.
years ago, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Just allow God to be able to remove that resentment and to heal the heart. And it takes a while. And what I've learned and what is helpful is that we pray for that person, you know, and not pray for them, Lord, get them, you know, for what they did, but pray for them in a good way. In other words, Lord, bless
don't
them
sit
today.
God on them, huh?
You hear me?
Right.
Get them, God, because they hurt me. You know,
right.
So instead of doing that, just saying, God, bless their day. God, let their day be filled with
yeah.
peace. You know, meet their needs,
mm-hmm.
God. If there's anything that they're struggling with financially, Lord, meet their needs. You know, God, help their children. You know, whatever it is, just
yeah.
pray for it in a good way. You know, and that is
mm-hmm.
that will allow you to take your mind off of what this person has done, and you'll begin to feel good, oh, you know, that you're lifting another person up, and that's when God will be able to comfort and be eventually remove that feeling of unforgiveness, resentment, anger, bitterness, and boy, it's hard. It's
mm-hmm.
hard, you know, but it takes
mm-hmm.
some time and just trusting God and allow the healing process to take place, and then don't give up on God. You know, try it again.
That's right.
You know, go, you know, ask the Lord, show me to, take me to a place where there's gonna, you know, where I can be healed, where I can learn, where I can grow.
Yes.
I write about the importance of being in the church in my first book about how
mm-hmm.
it's important to find a church, get involved in a church. You know, a lot of people would say, well, I go to church, but, you know, it's like, well, what do? Are you part of a ministry? No, when he's over with, I just leave. I'm done. I can't be hanging out
mm-hmm.
with those people that mess with, you know. But God wants us to get involved,
right.
you know, and
yeah.
serve and see, you know, and understand
mm-hmm.
that, hey, this person is just like me. They mess up. They curse out
that's
in a
right.
minute.
That's
okay.
Right.
Keep on going,
mm-hmm.
you know, keep serving and keep just being involved and get your family involved and find a church that's right for you, because every church is not, you know, is not for you. That church ministry, just
mm-hmm.
because your whole family go there, that does not
mm-hmm.
necessarily mean you are supposed to be there. So find a church
that's
right for you and your family. So that's what I would, you know, that's what I would suggest.
That is such sound advice. Okay, we're going to take a break and hear, just a quick break, and hear a word from our sponsor. Just a moment.
Okay.
Scores of authors from across the nation will autograph books on Saturday, April 30th at the 7th Annual Dayton Book Expo. In addition to book signings, the Ohio-based event includes sessions for aspiring authors, a kids zone, and a free journal for book lovers. For details, call 888-802-1802 or visit DaytonBookExpo.com. Dayton Book Expo, where book lovers connect.
If you are just tuning in, you're listening to In the Spotlight, and I'm your host, Tamika Patrice Kane. I have the special guest, author and minister, Ravonda Brown, with us today. And Ravonda, let's talk about your book, Walking in Freedom,
yes.
30-Day Devotional
yes,
Journey
ma'am.
For Women. Let's talk about that.
Yes, ma'am. This book, oh, praise God, this book got started with the devotionals in 2010. As I said earlier, that, you know, God does something, and we don't know what he's doing, he's writing devotionals, and his plan was to put these books, many books he's going to allow me to write, to put these devotionals in books. So this first book, Walking in Freedom, mm-hmm. is compiled of 30 devotionals that I prayed and asked the Lord, okay, Lord, which ones you want me to use in it? Mm-hmm. And so he selected these 30 devotionals, and what's so amazing, what blew my mind, and this was like a revelation to me probably about 4 or 5 months ago, because I did a 30-day devotional challenge on Periscope. And so we did the 30-day devotional where I read each chapter or whatever, and we discussed it. And it lasted probably about, it took us a while because, you know, some days I wasn't able to get on it, but it took us some days. Actually, I think it probably took about 3 months to finish. But what the Lord showed me about what he did was, and I say it was him, it was not me. Oh, God, it was not me. He separated each part of the book. Like the first section is more of just learning about yourself, you know, personally, where you are. The idea, you know, changing your thoughts and what are you going to do about it and how to be committed to this relationship with Jesus. And then the middle part, it talks about, next to that section, it talks more about your emotions, those feelings, those things you deal with every day, especially women. I'm sorry to say, I forgot to say that this book is for women. It's for women. Uh-huh. And so the emotions that you go through, fear and struggling and just all that stuff, having one of those days, feeling half empty. And then the Lord moved the next section to about prayer. I said, wow. And I didn't really realize that until we were going over how he had put these devotionals in three sections. The one about personally making that change, that commitment that you want to follow Christ, you want to, you know, follow after him and take this journey. And I call it the 30-day challenge, because it is a challenge, because you have to set time aside to do it, because at the end of each devotional, there's some activities where you can, you know, with some deep thought, and you got to, you know, learning things about yourself as well as learning about the Lord. And the second session about emotions, how we can allow those emotions just can take over. One devotion that says that emotional beast, because it can be a beast for you, man. Mm-hmm. And then the last section is prayer. So this book is really powerful, I say, because you can use it on a personal level for yourself, or you can do it with a group, your church group, group of ladies, friends, or whatever, and do it together where you can grow. It's life changing. It's to allow you to learn about yourself and see things you hadn't seen before. Wow, that's me. Man, I didn't know I do this, you know. So it's a great journey of discovery. I said a journey of discovery and revelation, empowerment, because you learn so much and you grow. And also, my main thing is that you allow yourself to see God as you take the journey.
Awesome. Okay. Now, I know that the inspiration for the book came from the Lord, but have you always wanted to be an author?
You know what? I think, well, maybe when I was younger, I said I would write a poem. I don't know why I would say that, because I said, I'm going to write a poetry. I'm going to write a book about poems, and I was horrible with poems. I don't know why I thought that, but that was the only thing I can remember of ever thinking about writing a book, which is why I'm just blown away that he said, okay, I mean, because of these books that he has created, and I'm saying books because I have the second book and working on book three, but I'm just amazed at God, and it was all God because of how he's allowing these books to minister to people and bless them. So, yeah, it was
so your second book has already been released?
Yes, ma'am. The second book, this book, At Least Say Thank You, actually came out in around Thanksgiving last year, and I am so grateful that this. Yeah, no, I didn't give you that information. I'm like,
that's
sorry.
That's all right.
But this book, I'm so blessed to say that it says At Least Say Thank You, an 8-day devotional plan for a grateful heart. This book, God allowed this book to be a number one bestseller and to be on the Amazon's hot release. Yes, Lord.
Really?
This book here was number. Yes, ma'am. This book was number one and was on the bestseller as well as my first book. That's why I said it was God. It
that
wasn't
is fantastic.
Me. It was all
that is fantastic.
All him.
Wow. Still had to be willing, you know, you still had to be willing
That's
and obedient,
it.
And you did that, you know, and he doesn't have a problem with us, you know, accepting some accolades. So, you know, I mean, you did play a huge part in that. The book didn't get written by itself, you know, so it's okay
You're
for you
right.
to get your pats on the back too, you know. So right now you are writing in the Christian nonfiction self-help genres. Do you see yourself writing
yes,
in
ma'am.
Any other genres?
Yes, I do. I do want
okay.
to write a love, a romance novel. I love love. You hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm in love with love. I do want to write a romance novel. Of course, it'll be a clean one. But that's what I do want to do, and also as well as an autobiography of myself. So
oh,
I
really?
Do see myself as doing. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yes. I have to share that story of me. So, yes, ma'am. So those are the other genres I will write in.
Okay. That's awesome. So how do you keep yourself motivated to keep going, you know, when you're tired and not feeling refreshed or when things are low? How do you keep yourself going? Because, you know, you're writing inspirational stuff, so you've got to, you know, you've got to have a resolve, you know, or something there to be able to pour into others. So how do you keep yourself built up, you know, so that you can continue to pour?
Right. I have to stay in God's word, and I'm going to tell you there are times
mm-hmm.
when I get out of his word, and it's like, then that's when I'm having one of those days and realize,
gotcha.
Okay, I didn't spend my time with the Lord. I didn't do that. He is my big encourager, and he has blessed me with a husband and my children who encouraged me as well, you know.
Okay.
My husband I say he's my cheerleader because he will encourage
Aww.
Me, you know, even when I'm down
That's
or whatever,
sweet.
Pray for me and lift me up, and that is such a big help. And I know what the Lord has done. I think about the scripture in Corinthians, I believe that's 1 Corinthians, where Paul says, because God has comforted me, I can comfort you. So when, and that's
okay.
when the Lord allows me to bless people even better. When I'm down, I'm having one of those
yes.
days, and then
mm-hmm.
I'm writing. I use that and write, and then that's when I'm able to write those words and then use it to encourage someone else. So because he comforts me and encourages me, I can encourage someone else. So basically when I'm down, realize, okay, I got to get in that word. And then also
okay.
I got my husband and my children that's encouraging me and lift me up. And, you know, loved ones and family members who are encouraging me. I know when I first started writing, walking in the devotionals, I was doing it so much in my mind. I'm like, I'm sending out too many devotions. Let me stop. Nobody want to hear what I'm talking about, you know, if I stop. And my aunt, she sent me an email. She said, hello, where's Martha and Mary? And I'm like, I'm like, aunt, I just decided to take a break. She was like, no, don't take a break.
Okay.
I need you to send
okay.
it. I got a folder for all the devotions.
Oh.
I was like, it was such
yes.
was such an encouragement
yes.
to do that. I was like, okay, I'm going to keep on doing it.
Okay. So what do you say to that woman? She's just running on empty. You know, she's given all that she has to give. She's done the work. She serves in ministry. She's made the sacrifices, yet her life is still unfulfilled and her dreams have not come true, and it's been years. Or some of them have come true, but it's not what she thought it would be. What do you say to that woman?
What I would say to her is that don't give up. And although she may seem like she may think her dreams, those dreams weren't coming the way she thought, it was all part of God's plan. A lot of times we want things to be go our way, and God's like, no, baby, it's not going to go that way. But although it may not go the way we think, God says all things work together for good. So even though it may look like right now, my dreams are not coming to pass or it's not working out the way I thought it would be. Years, maybe, you know, later on, the Lord will reveal to her, you know what, this was part of my plan, and she'll go, okay, you know, she'll find that joy again, you know, as far as that. For the person that constantly busy and serving and need to be refreshed? Is that what the question you asked me for the second part?
Well, it was all kind of tied in. It was, you know, yeah, no, it was all kind of tied in. You know, she's just doing she's done all the stuff that we tell them they're supposed to do, and she's not fulfilled. So I was just, it was just kind of like, what do you say to that person? You know, so, yeah, but that was good. You know, that was good that, you know, sometimes it's just, you say all things work together. You know, all things work together for your good. So that's very good. I think sometimes we forget that, you know. We forget that. It just looks like, what does this experience have anything at all to do with the grand picture of my life? And yet, I say sometimes that life is like a tapestry. But if you ever seen the back of a tapestry, it looks a mess. It looks an absolute mess. Yes, it is. It's ugly. There you go. And then you flip it over, and yet that strange little yellow thread that seemed like it had nothing to do with anything was integral in the part of the design. So that's such great advice. Now, what can we expect from you next?
Wow. Well, I'm working on my third book, Tuesday Morning Prayer. And those are the devotionals, they call them devotional prayers, that I started sending 1 year, the Lord said, okay, on Tuesdays, send devotionals that are prayers. And these were prayers, you know, that I sent to the Lord. So that's the next book that's coming up. I'm working on that. And I'm still as well working on my romance novel.
Okay.
Yes, Lord.
Okay. That's good. Yes. Now, do you have any book signings or speaking engagements or social events coming up where your readers can come out and connect with you?
Actually, I have the Easter egg extravaganza that's coming up at the last Saturday of this month, and we're inviting everyone to come out. I just finished the prayer breakfast that was going on there. The next thing that's coming up will be our leadership seminar. I'll be there as well. I have one of my closest friends, my best friend, she's going to be leading that up. But I'll be there as well, as they can connect. And they can also connect with me, of course, on social media and as well as through my website. And on social media, they can find me at Ravonda L. Brown. Oh, they can look up Martha Mary 3. So either one will pull up under me. And as the website, they can go to MarthaMary3.com, and as well as my personal, RavondaLBrown.com. And then, of course, the church, the sanctuary, cf.org. Hello?